So I got a text this week about coronavirus, and the person was wondering about whether, at what point does this virus take on the status of being dever. Dever is a concept brought down in the Mishnah and Tainus we'll go through. At what point does it become an esara, a situation that requires fasting, requires tshuva? So that was a question he sent me this week, and I thought that would be a great topic to go through on a Sunday morning. Obviously, it's very relevant. So we're going to discuss, firstly, what's considered dever, what's considered esara, and what the ramifications of that might be. And secondly, the second half, we'll discuss a little bit about the halachas of nezikin that might relate to this. So, for example, let's say a person he's infected with coronavirus, or any other virus for that matter, and that individual infects someone else willingly, knowingly. So what type of responsibility does that person, is he a mazik? Let's say the guy dies, is he a rotzeach? If let's say the person doesn't die, but he's out of work for 2 weeks and doesn't get paid, or he has to pay medical bills, is he responsible for being mazik someone else? So these are the two areas that I want to discuss, but there are many other areas of halacha that are affected by this, but we only have so much time. Maybe next week we could talk about other topics related to this, you know, in terms of Chil Shabbos. Let's say, you know that suddenly you found out the five towns got hit with the virus. Can you travel out and take a flight or drive away outside of the five towns to avoid getting infected by the coronavirus? Does a doctor have a responsibility? Let's say he's putting himself into risk, into danger, by healing, by caring for such a person with the patient. Does he have to put himself into danger to heal such a patient? So these are various topics that can be discussed, but we're going to just focus on the definition of a dever esara, and what type of nezek, responsibility a person might have for infecting someone else. So if we look in the first Maor Makom, the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Tainios, the Rambam writes that mitzvah aseh min haTorah, there's a mitzvah deraisa lizok ulhariya b'chatzotzros, to blow out with the trumpets, al kol tzara shetavo al tzibur. Any tzara that comes to a tzibur, there's a mitzvah deraisa to blow chatzotzos, to blow trumpets. Based in a pasuk, it says, al hatzar hatzara eschem, v'ariyosem b'chatzotzros. When the nation is being afflicted by a certain tzar, a certain trouble, an eitz tzara, there's a mitzvah to blow chatzotzos, to blow trumpets. Kolomar, kol davar sheyetzer lachem, anything that affects the people, could go in b'tzuros, a famine, v'dever, v'arbe, v'kayotben, zokolem, v'ariyot. There's a mitzvah deraisa to blow shofar. So the first question is, should we take out our trumpets and start blowing the trumpets because the coronavirus is coming quickly? Secondly, he says, v'davar zemi darchei atshuvahi. This is one of the elements of tshuva. Shebizman shetavo tzara v'yizaku aleh, the moment that you're being affected by whatever, a famine, a flood, an earthquake, v'yizaku aleh, v'yariyu yodu akol shebeglal ma'asem, haram hu alem. It's not just stam. These things don't just happen by chance. It's part of a punishment. It's a wake-up call to do tshuva. So, of course, we should always do tshuva, but does that mean it should turn into we should make a yom, and Sunday should be now a yom tshuva, we should all get together and daven, maybe say slichos, and blow shofar, and blow chatzotzos? Does this mean this becomes a real din of tshuva now? Number three, the halacha gimel, the Rambam writes, about im lo yizaku, let's say that coronavirus really is dever. And you guys say, it's nothing, you know, the Chinese made it up, they're spreading it throughout the world as some type of, terror, bioterror of some sort. That's not really min shemayim. So lo yizaku, we shouldn't daven, v'lo yariyo, we shouldn't blow chatzotzos. El yomu, we just say, daver zeh miminag ha'olam, this is the Chinese doing the work again. Or maybe it just happened because people were eating bats. It's not any form of a wake-up call at all. So ira lanu v'tzarzu nikrek nikres, it's just a happenstance. If that's our response to such a tzara, harezu der chazarios. That's a chazarios. That's thing that the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't pay attention to the world. He lets the world just turn on its own and just let things happen. The goremes lahem lidabik b'maaseim haram. That's going to lead to clinging to evil ways. The toast of tzara, tzara, acheret is going to bring on more tzaros. Fine. That's the reaction we shouldn't have. And then halacha 4, so he said you should blow chatzotzot. You should do tshuva. You shouldn't ignore this. And number 4, the Rambam writes, "Umidivrei sofrim lisanos al kol tzara shetavo al tzibur ad shirachmu min hashemayim." We have to fast as well. So should we call day Yom HaTainus, Yom HaTzon? Should we say today and Sunday we should fast, we should take out the chatzotzerot and do tshuva? So these are all the ramifications. We're going to see later on, there's actually another nafkamina as well for an eis tzara. I'll share with you right now because I'm listing them. It's brought down in the poskim, and the Be'er Heitev brings this down, and the Magen Avraham and the Rama also, that a person should not sit avelus during an eis tzara of dever. Why not? Because what happens is if a person sees their neighbor sitting avelus, sitting shiva, they're going to get very, very nervous that the dever is really moving fast, and they're going to go buy out all the, you know, the Walmart safety kits and all the food and the water, and people are going to go crazy. The anxiety, the emotional anxiety that's going to affect it. So he said, no sitting shiva during dever. Whether or not that person died from dever or not, it may have just been a 95-year-old who died. There's no avelus during an asar because everyone's going to start going crazy. Dever is affecting everyone. So we see that it's a really serious thing. In halacha, there are a number of different effects, implications by defining what's an eis tzara and what's a dever. So let's talk about what is dever. So number two, the Mishnah Maseches Tainis tells us eizu dever. It's a very straightforward Mishnah. Ir hamotziah chamesh meos ragle v'yatzu mimenu shlosha mesim b'shlosha yamim zacherzeh. So you have a population of 500. So imagine you have a small village of 500 people. Three die on three consecutive days. So the ratio is 3 to 500. You break it down to what end up being like 0.6% of the population dies. That's what it comes out to be. Because 500 to 3, bring it down to 100. Those who do quick math, 3 over 5 to 100 would be 0.6%. That's a very small percentage. People dying, and that would mean that there's dever. And the Rambam, the Gemara writes further, number 3, Tanu Rabbanim, Ir hamotzia chamesh meos ve'elof ragli. If they're 1,500 people, so just doing the math, everything's the same ratio. Kegon kfar Akko. Akko had 1,500 people living there. V'yatzu emanu tisha mesim b'shlosh yomim zacherzeh. So if 9 people, everything's times 3 now. 500 to 1,500 population. Now instead of 3 people dying, you need 9 people to die. On shlosh yomim zacherzeh, 3 consecutive days. So that's the ratio that we're working with. If it's anything less or more, if the numbers are off, that means it's a happenstance. These are the numbers we need to work with. So it's 0.6% of the population of that city, that village, die from this virus. That would indicate it's an asara, there's a dever, which is a very small number. So we have to question whether or not coronavirus has hit that point yet. Moreover, happened to be just an interesting Karen Ora. The Karen Ora number 4 here, it connects to this sugya and to Megillas Esther. He asks the question number 4 here in this ratio. L'chora, l'may de kaimlam, we learn at the Gemara Yivamos that betray zimne havi chazaka lina nusuin umila. In general, this machlokas, what establishes a chazaka? Is it 2 times or 3 times? And all of us know it's 3 times. But there are 2 areas where we assume 2 times would establish a chazaka. Let's say a child dies from getting a mila. And then his brother dies from a mila. We don't give the 3rd one a mila. We stop after 2. That's enough. It's a sakana. A woman gets married, she loses her husband once. She marries twice, she loses him a 2nd time. We don't say get married a 3rd time. 2 establishes a chazaka twice for pikuach nefesh. So why are we waiting for 3 days in a row? For dever, maybe 2 days in a row should be enough to establish this is a chazaka, this is dangerous. Start davening, start doing tshuva. So pikuach nefesh, it should be 2. So look what he writes in the bold here, Karen Ora. Karen Ora writes, the O Nira de Hocha Taima Kedamina Bemedish, why 3 days? She'ain Sara Moshele Shlosh Yamim Shlemim. That it takes 3 days for an Ace Sara to take effect. Not because of Chazaka, but that's how an Ace Sara works. Kimoshe Nemar Bayoma Shlisha Yukimenu, Ulahachi Amar is quoting from the Medish in Esther, 3 days of an Ace Sara, in Chas V'Shalom Gavra Tsar Shlosh Yamim, if it lasts 3 days, then you start needing Rachamim. It's not about a Chazaka or not a Chazaka. It's 3 days defines an eis tzara. That defines a dever. Not about chazak at all. So now we have the ratio of 3 to 500. 3 of the 500 people die from such a virus, such a dever. So the Rambam writes in number 5, who? Which people? If you look at the numbers, the latest numbers were, I think, 3% of people who were infected died. Now, that's not 3% of people in the city. I don't know the numbers of the city. But it's much less. And of the 3% that died, who got infected, 15% of them were over 80. So now we're working with how many people were actually infected that were young and strong and healthy is a very, very tiny percentage.
Why does it matter the difference? Because you can't prove it that they died because of the coronavirus? Why does it matter if someone's over 80?
So look at number 5, the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Vein ha-noshim va-ketanim va-zekenim she-shofsu mi-melacha b'chlal minyan anshei ha-medina l'inetzeh. Women, children, and the elderly are not included in this because the immune systems are typically weaker for them. So that can't be counted. And what? How do you define that?
A higher number than it used to be?
I imagine it probably would be. Most likely, yes. But the president said the guy who died in which state? Was it California?
Washington? Yeah.
He was over 60. Yeah. So, but I imagine over 60 now, they wouldn't be considered a zaken in terms of the immune system. But whatever that number is, whatever the statistics are telling us of where they're vulnerable and the immune system is weaker, we have to take into account them. So now 3% of those who are infected died, but of them, there's only really a 1% or maybe 2% that were really healthy. And then that's of the whole city, the numbers are much greater. So it doesn't sound like, again, I didn't do the exact numbers, but it doesn't sound like coronavirus is there where there's an Eis Tzara. But it doesn't mean a person shouldn't respond to a wake-up call to do tshuva. But it wouldn't necessarily dictate it should be an Eis Tzara in terms of tightness and blowing chatzotzot. Chatzotzot only exists in the base of Mikdash anyways. But some interesting things in the Gemara about what the Gemara knew about how Dever spreads to what we know now in science. So look at this fascinating Gemara number 7. Gemara says, Amri lei l'Rav Yehuda. Ika musna b'chazera. They told him that there is a dever, there's some type of a pestilence, some type of disease that were affecting the pigs. So, gaza tainisa. So he said, we should be gozer tainis. So Neima, is that to say, kasava Rav Yehuda, make mishulechas mimin echad? Mushulachas mikol minim. If one species of animals are affected, it's going to affect other animals. It's going to travel from bats to humans, from dogs to humans. Is that really true? He says, "Lo, not true. There's something different by pigs. Shiny chaziri the damin mayayu levne inshi. The stomachs, the digestive system of the pig, are very similar to that of a human. So only it's true when it's they're similar in terms of the biology, the anatomy of the animals." Can they pass from one to the next? So Amri lei the Shmuel, they say to Shmuel, Ika Musa bechazai, the city has a dever. So Gaza Tainisa, he says, be Gaza Tainis. It wasn't his city, but it was a city further away. He said, let's go to Tainis for the dever there. Why? Amri lei, v'ham merchok, it's so far away. It's from China to New York. It's so far away. How are you going to get from one place to the next place? Amri lekem avra dehacha depasiklei, is there no bridge? Are there no planes? Are there no boats to travel? Of course, Dever's able to travel. Amri lei l'Rav Nachman ika musa ba'aret. Fine. So that's the first point. What we see from here is the way Dever travels is b'metzias. We have to know if they're boats, if they're contact, if it's airborne. It's all about metzias, how a disease could travel. But then look at this next gemara, which is interesting. Ika musa ba'aret Yisrael. If let's say there's Dever in Eretz Yisrael, Gaza tainis, where Gaza tainis everywhere in the world. Why? In Gevira Loka, if the head of the house or the woman, the mother gets punished, Shifcha lo kol shekein, the maidservant shouldn't be punished, the other countries in the world shouldn't be punished. So it sounds like from this line that it's a punishment. Let's say Eretz Yisrael was completely sealed off, no travel in and out. Would you still be gozer tainis? And it sounds like, yes, you would be. Because if the mother, the king, the queen are being punished, so certainly the servants will be. What comes out a fascinating point here from the Gemara is that there are two aspects to Dever. There's one that is spread b'metzias, how things practically work, how things spread, and secondly, in terms of an onesh, in terms of a punishment. So now, there's a fascinating machlokas between the Tosus and the Ritva. Let's say, I'm not familiar with any Jews who've been affected yet. Hasn't been any of the news outlets, but maybe they have. But let's say there's a Dever that has only affected the non-Jews. Should we be concerned as Jews that we're going to be affected as well? So the Tosa says, of course. If the pigs have the same stomach as we do, Kavachomer, non-Jews, have an identical system to what the Jews have. There's no difference in terms of the anatomy. So if the Goyim are being affected in China, and there's an ability to travel to New York, so certainly we should be Gozer Tainis here in New York. But look what the Ritva writes. Ritva writes in number 9, Aval Goyim, if they get affected, We don't have to fast. Chalku reshus le'atzmam. They're in their own entity. Afa pishehei min echad in yonei gezerasam chaluka le'atzmam. Their gezeras that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them is different than when He gives us. Ubetrei dinei inen mistadim. We get judged differently than them. So according to this Ritva, who He doesn't accept though, it's not about how things travel and things spread. It's about onesh. The devil is an onesh that the goyim get punished, but we may not get punished. If Eretz Yisrael gets punished, then everyone else will get punished. But China's getting punished doesn't mean it's going to get to our place either. So the question becomes, is it affected by onesh, or is it affected by just simple metzias of how things spread? Halacha l'maisa. So what would happen if, let's say, coronavirus was really considered dever? It met that 0.6% threshold that enough people are dying in enough amount of days. Will that be considered asar? Will that be considered dever? So the Magen Avraham writes, he's very, very confused. He says, at number 11 here. Why don't we blow chatzotos and shofars and asara? It's happened in the past. Even though there's no tiny sibur nowadays, the Rambam says there's a mitzvah asay daraisa to blow chatzotos and to do tshuva. Why are we not doing this? He doesn't know why. He leaves it as a tzarchin. He has no explanation. Now, nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we haven't experienced any such dever. But you go back less than 100 years ago, there were communities that had dever, just knocked out a community, knocked out families. I'm sure the threshold was way above 0.6%. So he wants to know why. He's not sure why. Now, in terms of tainus, why don't we fast, though? So there, the Magen Avraham has a fascinating point here. He says, and this is a great example of how times have changed. The Magen Avraham writes in number 12 here, Ha'idna, nowadays, ein mis'anin klal, b'shas ha'dever. We don't fast when there's a dever. D'menusa hu'yi, it's been tried. K'she'enu ocho v'shosa, when you don't eat and when you don't drink, kolet, chas ha'sham, shinoi ha'avir, your immune system is weaker, you're more susceptible to receiving and more vulnerable to getting the disease, and therefore fasting is actually going to be a detriment to you, and therefore a person should dafke eat when there's a dever. In fact, there's a mice where Rav Chanan Wasserman got up on Yom Kippur, and there was a dever going around, and he says everyone must eat, and he ate in front of the tzibur on Yom Kippur because of this particular Magen Avraham. When you fast, you're more vulnerable. So that's why no fasting. But this is just a fascinating point as an aside, whereby once upon a time, fasting actually was a way to respond to an Eis Tzara. Eating now is the way to respond to an Eis Tzara. It protects you more. It gives you greater strength and energy to fight against the Eis Tzara, against the Dever. But again, Halacha Maisa, it does not seem that we've gotten to that point. I know that I'm not making any political statements or how they broadcast the news and journalism, but from my understanding is what's being projected as a very serious, scary development throughout the world, it doesn't seem that the numbers are really as scary as they're presenting them to be. Again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not giving you advice what to do, I'm not telling you to travel to China or anywhere else, but at the same time, I think more people have died from the flu this year than they have died from this coronavirus. So it sounds like people are getting more excited than they are, but still, if people are getting excited and you're nervous, it's a good wake-up call anyways to do some level of tshuva and introspection how we could change ourselves. Let's move on to the second topic now, of the Nezek aspect. It should be over there. If not, you could share. I'm not sure if there's any more left. So, the aspect of being mazik. So, let's say a person was quarantined. He's either he's been diagnosed with coronavirus, or he was in contact with someone. He might have it. We don't know. And he willingly leaves the quarantine area, and he willingly affects someone else. And that person dies, or that person has to pay medical expenses. What type of responsibility will there be on such an individual? Will he be considered a mazik? So obviously this particular application is new, but there have been many throughout history of other examples of people being mazik. Whether it be AIDS in the past 50 years, someone willingly affecting someone with AIDS, or someone with measles, these things have been discussed in the past and the postgame. So let's go through. Rav Zilberstein talks about a couple of these examples. So let's go to number 15 now. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ritzayach, Kol ha'horik chaveiro b'yado, a person, if you murder someone, Kigon Sheikeo Basai, if you kill the guy with a sword. O Be'evin Hamimisa, a very strong, heavy rock. O Shechantku Achemes, you strangle a guy until he dies. O Sarfa Be'esh, you burn him. Hol V'hargu Be'komokom Hu Be'atzmo Hareze Nerag Be'bezdin. A person who murders in any such way, he's Chayiv Misas Bezdin. Aval, Hasocher Horeg, you hire a hitman. L'harugis Chavero, you don't kill. I hire Ruvain to kill Shimon. But I didn't kill Shimon, I just hired someone. O Sheshalach Avadov Vargeu, I appointed my Eved to go kill Reuven. Oh, Shekafta Chavero, I tied down my friend, well, not much of a friend, but I tied down a guy. V'nichol lefnei ha'ari, I placed him in front of a lion. I didn't kill him, the lion killed him. I just created a situation where he would die. Uchayotibo, anything like that. V'arakton, you kill him. Hachaya, v'chein ha'orig es atzmo. Kol echa me'elu shofech damim hu v'avon hariga b'yodo. This is real Misa. And your chai misa l'shemayim vein ba misa bezdin. However, since it's indirect, it's grumma, I did not use my own hand. I didn't use my own rock or my own gun or my own sword. I had him in a situation where he would get killed. That's considered real ritzicha, just that bezdin cannot carry out any punishment. Tachiyav misas bidei shemayim, but there still is considered ritzicha. So that's one point to know. And we'll see how Rav Zilberstein puts this together. Then, there's another interesting Ramah. There's a section of Halacha and Hilchas in Yeridaya about certain things you shouldn't do that are going to lead to a sakana. For example, we don't eat fish and meat together. That's a sakana. The Sfardim don't eat fish and milk together, many Sfardim, because that's also sakana, according to the Sfardim. There are a number of things we don't do because it's a sakana. According to some, we don't have water left out overnight uncovered, because perhaps a snake left some venom. So on the list of things that are considered dangerous, a person must respond to, the Ramah writes in number 16, Od kasru sheyesh livroach min ha'ir kisha dever be'ir. When there's dever, you need to run. When dever's been discovered, you have to run. And even, he doesn't say this, but even on Shabbos, if you know there's a dever, then you have to run. So on that Ramah, there's a fascinating Rabbi Kiva Eger who quotes Rabbeinu Bachai from Parshas Korach. We know Parshas Korach, there's a Magefa. Magefa had killed people. There's a Dever. So the Pasuk says, Hivdilu mitoch Eda, separate from the Eda. Separate from the Magefa. So Rabbeinu Machai says, number 17, Mashi Hitzrich, the end of the first line. Mashi Hitzrich lomar Hivdilu. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to say separate from the Magefa? HaKadosh Baruch Hu yesh v'yodo lahamish lahachayos v'lo hayatzarach lehevdil etzlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need you to separate. Kadosh Baruch Hu could kill and bring life to whomever he wants. You could have two people next to each other, and you could have Reuven die and Shimon live. So why was there a need to be mavdil? Sherei yachol hu lahamis es harabim. He could kill 1,000 people. Ulahachayos echad besochem, and have one live. Kadosh Baruch Hu could do whatever he wants with such precision. Just like it says in the Gemara, beiz v'gimel meskasim betalas achas. Two or three people are sharing a talis and a blanket, and there's a magefa. Hashnai mesim. You can have two people die and one guy live. 1,000 people could die on your side and you could stay standing alive. So why did Hashem say, Hivdilu mitocha eda? Kidei shelo yidabek behem ha'avir hara shebemakis ha'dever. We said before there are two aspects of dever. There's the onesh and then there's the mitzias, how things catch. So mitzad ha'onesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could distinguish who he wants to die, who he doesn't want to die. But there's also the way the teva works, and now you have to run away from the teva. Hivdilu mitocha ha'magefa, from mitocha eda. Run far away. So the Ramah says, if there's a deva, run far away from the magefa. So what Rav Zilberstein says based on this, he was asked the following shaila. A child was born with a terminally sick child, painful death, and they wanted to know whether or not they could expose this child to some type of illness, like the measles or something of that sort, so the child could die quickly. Instead of going through terrible pain and suffering, let him die, put him in such a room of get him affected by measles. That was the question asked them. Rabbi Zilberstein said, based on the Rambam we saw above, that if you put a person in the situation, you tie him up in a situation in front of a lion, that's kamisa. We can't punish him, bebezdin, but that's kamisa. And based on this Rabbi Kiva Eger and Ramah, if there's a dever, you need to run away. because that's considered killing yourself if you stay in the city. Rabbi Zilberstein Paskin, that to put a child in such a situation would be like murder. It wouldn't be direct, it wouldn't be taking a knife, but it would be grumma by that child being exposed to the measles or whatever coronavirus, and over a couple days dying, that would be shvichas damim begrumma, and would certainly be us. So one who does that would be a murderer. But what if a person didn't kill a person? What if the Reuven who has coronavirus simply was mazik Shimon, where he lost pay from the job, let's say, or he had to pay medical expenses? What responsibility would there be for Reuven who infected Shimon in terms of the nezikin? So look at number 19. We'll finish with number 19. Another piece from Chashuke Chemed, Rav Zilberstein and Baba Kama. So I'll jump to the answer, but the question was this very case that we're talking about. Reuven had the measles. He was quarantined. And he did not listen to the rules. He left. He wanted to go, go to the base measures to learn. He wanted to daven in the shul. He wanted to go to the Mesameach Chasam Vekala. And when he did all these mitzvahs, he's Osek b'mitzvahs. He's davening, he's learning, he's going to Simchas Chasam Vekala. So, a person who's doing mitzvahs, he doesn't get damaged, so he doesn't damage anyone in the chasana. In the end of the day, everyone got sick from measles. From this guy who wanted to be Mekayim the mitzvah, the Raisa, of Mesameach Chasam Vekala. Is he responsible to pay for any nezek? Because that happens to be a din on Gemara and Baba Kama says, if a guy's running Erev Shabbos to get ready for Shabbos, and if it's reasons Erev Shabbos, you knock a guy over, you're potter, because you're Osek b'mitzvah. So this guy's Osek b'mitzvah, maybe he's potter from the Zikin. So if you look in where it begins, the paragraph Tshuva, Rav Zilberstein writes as follows. L'chora lo'asa ma'isa b'guf ha'nizak. This guy didn't do any damage with his own body. He didn't stab the guy. He was just in the presence. It was airborne, perhaps maybe by touch. However, he transmitted the measles or he transmitted the coronavirus. There was no direct touch. And we learned last week a little bit in a different application that there's the mazik and there's grumma, there's indirect damage. Indirect damage, if you don't touch the guy directly, that's indirect. Or if there's a certain delay, that's indirect damage. So if a person infects someone else with coronavirus, he doesn't die on the spot. It's not an immediate damage either. It takes a few days for the symptoms to kick in. So there's a certain delay of grumma that's going on here. And we say grumma benizikin's pother. Indirect damage, the individual might be, he violated an isser, but he's not responsible to pay for any damages. So Rav Zilberstein writes, l'chora lo'asa ma'isa b'guf ha'nizik. He didn't do anything to the guy who got infected. Reuven didn't do anything to Shimon directly. Even if you knew for sure that if you're in the same room as Reuven, you will get infected. If you didn't do any action, you just stood next to him, you breathed on him, you touched him, breathed on him, you're potter from Nezikin. Because we learned the din that the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Chavavim Abay says, Amar Rabba, Zara Kli Mirosh Agag. Let's say a guy throws a vessel from the top of the roof. And Harei Tachtav Karim Mekisos, and there's a blanket, the pillows. It's not going to break. It's going to fall right into the cushioned pillows on the bottom. But what happens is I come, I take out the pillow, and it comes and crashes down. Am I responsible to pay for that? I caused this glass to break. I caused this dish to break. Am I responsible to pay for that? So the Gemara says, it quotes the Gemara, Uba Achar V'Silk, and some guy yanked out the pillow and blankets, and it came crashing down. Oh, call them a silken potter. The guy's potter. My time. The guy, when he dropped it on top, so he dropped it, and it was going to fall to a cushioned area. He's potter. When I removed it, that's grumma. I didn't touch the vessel. I didn't touch the kli. I just removed the protection. That's grumma. I'm potter. So grumma benizikin is potter. Indirect damage is potter. So by me being in the same room, or not me, Reuven, who has a virus in the same room as Shimon, and Reuven infects Shimon, that's grumma, he's potter from Nezikin. But there's a different din. There's another Gemara he quotes in the Baba Kama, Daf Nun Vav Oben Beis. And there the Gemara says, Hamamid Behemas Chaveiro Akamas Chaveiro Chayv. Let's say I take an animal, I bring the animal to your property. I have this goat, eat all your fruit, your vegetables, and it ruins your property. Am I chayv or am I not chayv? The din is a machayv. I caused this goat to eat all your food. caused the bull to run all over your property and ruin it. I'm chayiv to pay. Why? I didn't touch it. It wasn't me. It was Grumma. Isn't that Grumma? Why am I chayiv in the case of the behemoth? So the Gemara says, my mid pshita, of course you're chayiv. Lo tzich, because if I put the animal directly on, that's like a knife. That's like a sword. Holding onto the dog, that's an extension of me. So that's, of course, you're chayiv. The kumli ba'api, it's a case where I didn't touch the animal. I directed the animal. I stood in front of it. I kind of maneuvered it, and without touching it, go this way, go that way. I was screaming at it, and eventually led its way to your property, and the animal ruined your property. I'm chayiv in that case. Why am I chayiv? I didn't touch the animal. I didn't mazig on my own, but yeah, dayim. So the Gemara says, "Is machlokes rishon why you chayiv? Are you chayiv because shein v'regel?" The first Mishnah in Maseches Baba Kama tells us that some of the there are arba avos nezikin. There are four main categories of nezikin, and one of them is shein if the animal eats the property, regel that tramples on the property. So some say it's my animal; I'm responsible for my animal. The Rashba says it's chayiv because of esh. Adam hamazik rather, adam hamazik. What's adam hamazik? If I were to damage you directly, I punch a guy in the face, I have to pay five different things. That's adam hamazik. So how is my animal on your property adam hamazik? That's not me. Adam hamazik when I hurt someone else, adam to an adam, not a shore to an adam. So if you look at the paragraph v'nir lahazbir, he quotes from the Chazanish. What pshat? How come the Rashba says when my animal, which I'm directing, goes on your property and damages your property, why is it adam hamazik? So the Chazani says shehizbir the Rashba shekasu davi adam hamazik dahinu midin esh. It's midin. What's midin esh? If I light a fire in this property, and that fire spreads and affects your property, I'm chay midin esh. I didn't protect my fire. My fire spread. It went to my neighbor's property. I need to pay for all the damage. Why? So the din is, there's a chiddush that esh is considered an extension of the adam himself. There's a lot of lumdus here. But when I light a fire, so that fire is considered like shooting an arrow. And shooting arrow is my, I did it, I created that. So if my animal went on its own to damage your property, I didn't guide it. It just went on, I didn't protect it, but guy went on its own. I'm chayim din shein regel. If I did lead my animal, that's not just my animal, that's me. I was involved. That's esh. It's like lighting a fire and the fire going. Me leading your animal into your property, that's directly, that's adam hamazik. And he says, the last two paragraphs, ubinyanenu, our topic now of the spreading of the measles, or our case, coronavirus. Mi sheyesh lo machla hamadbekes. Madbekes means to stick. An infectious disease. Ba'avir. A person who has an infectious disease that could be transmitted airborne or through contact. It's like me placing my animal on your property to damage it. Me sending anything outside of myself, whether it be my animal or whether it be my disease, that's considered an extension of adam hamazik. The animal went to eat and ruin your property. And the hezek is clear. If I put my goat on your property, it's going to eat everything that you have there. Hachanami, when it comes to a very highly infectious disease, such as measles and perhaps the coronavirus, he bari hazeka, the hezek is clear that's going to happen. Ula harajba, that would be a chayiv midin adma mazik. So that would be chayiv in nezikin. And in the last paragraph he says, vim kain, im nechayiv osa mishim esh. If we're really going to assume that spreading a disease is like chayiv midin esh, like spreading my fire, Yechayiv l'shalim l'chaveiro es ha-sheves, which means the amount of the work pay, the compensation he lost from going to work. Like the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, she'isho mishum chitza chetzio, chayiv l'shalim l'chamesh dvarim. If I, my fire spreads and injures a person, I need to pay five different dvarim, sheves, ripoy, and so on, for the damage to the person. V'nir d'havi hezek nikr. So, important point here. When it comes to paying for damage, the Gemara tells us that if it's hezek she'enu nikr, if the damage is not recognizable, then you're not chayiv to pay. It's also to do it. Let's say, for example, you have tshuma. We have a couple of kohanim in the room. Let's say I metame Ben Cohn's tshuma. So, am I chayiv to pay? And the din is no. Because you can't see it. I'm telling you I touched it. It doesn't look different before and afterwards. That's hezek she'enu nikr. Or let's say the guy's got yayin. And wine. And I took the wine, I poured it for Avodah Zarah, It's a deraisa, but that's what I did. Avodah Zarah. That wine is an usser. I ushered his wine. He can't get hana. That's hezek shen and nikar. You don't recognize it. The wine looks the same. So hezek shen and nikar, you're not chayiv to pay. So how would you define a infection, a virus? Is that hezek shen and nikar or not? Can you recognize it? You look at a guy, you can't see. He's got the virus. Maybe the measles you can. So he writes here that he thinks it would be a hezek nikar. You can recognize a virus, a disease. Sharei la'acha kama shos, after a few hours, nikar miyad shuchola, you see he's sick. V'choma ola, his temperature rises. V'yesh gam tzimar megufo, by the measles he's talking about, they're bumps, they're red spots. Hareze hezek nikar, he thinks. So then he says, even if it's hezek, so right now he says it's mazik, adama mazik, you pay five dvarim. It's hezek shen nikar, he thinks. Now he says, but how do you know Ruvain caused it? Ruvain may have been next to Shimon. Maybe a lot of people have the measles. So maybe Levi caused him. How do you prove that? There's no way to prove, I don't think, that he was the one who necessarily infected him. It's highly likely, because Reuven stood next to Shimon, he breathed over Shimon. But how could you prove that? How do you know? Sheyesh livdok, you have to inspect, kol mikra lagufo, every single situation, im vadai nidbak mimenu, if it definitely came from him. Vim zeda vadai bari, if the only guy he came into contact with who had measles was Reuven, and that you could prove that, so then he thinks it would be similar to Ma'amid Behemas Chaveira al Kamaso, and you'd pay five dvarim. But then he ends off saying, Ulai, Nechshav lehezek Shein Nikar. Maybe it's not really Shein Nikar. What's Nikar? If I bash your car window, you see that's broken. The guy's got some symptoms. It's not so clear that it's Nikar. So by the measles, the red spots, the chicken pox, fine. By the coronavirus, it's, to my understanding, nothing more than a respiratory issue. Not more, though, but it's a respiratory issue, this fever, this coughing. But that, I'm not sure how nicker that might be, the damage that's been there. But either way, it's sarach in, at least the way Rav Zilberstein suggests, just, but someone who does have it certainly should not willingly affect someone else. But this just becomes another great example of how we see that the current events are very much affected and defined by the halacha that we go through. And everything has sources and roots in the halacha. So next week, at least right now, my topic I plan to speak about is for Parsha Zachor. I've been learning this program. Those who are learning Daf Yomi, those who are not, can still join next Sunday or starting Shabbos. There's a program called Zichru. It's a program that helps you remember things. So I want to give a share next week. I'll pee the Gemara and the Rishonim, the different memory techniques that exist in the Gemara. I'll present the program Zichru as well, those who want to do it. It's the most fascinating thing not to say what I'm able to accomplish, but anyone. Could you chazer 55 blad of brachos, 58 today, 58 blad of brachos you could learn in 3 minutes in your head during, you know, any breaks you want, you're on the train, you're walking to shul, in 3 minutes you could do 58 blad in your head, just like that. So that's next week in Mirza Hashem. We'll talk about what the Gemara has to say about remembering, and then we'll see after that.